If I was on the Titanic, who would I want at the muster stations for the lifeboats? Would I want somebody who's quiet, self-effacing, concerned about the bigger picture and people's? Or do I want somebody standing there saying, just get on the lifeboat, get on it now, and let's get it launched? Because that's what the Red Energy people would be doing for us.
Hello and welcome to the Start, Build and Grow podcast. I'm your host, Rob Lawrence, and in this short podcast series, you're going to learn how to run and grow your business more effectively, gaining insights and inspiration from our panel of hand-selected coaches, mentors and experts in the enterprise community. In the next few weeks, you'll learn things to consider at the start of your business journey, how to run your business effectively, and tips on everything from finance to marketing to managing people and strategy to help you develop and grow a sustainable and profitable business. Before we begin and get stuck in, don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast through your favorite podcast player app. Today, we're going to explore the importance of personality profiling and communication skills with my expert guest who I have with me here, Nigel Sandbrook. Nigel is a retired director with a rich 40-year career background, one that includes both banking and manufacturing. And today he works as a business coach as part of BGCN and as a mentor behind the Start, Build and Grow program. So, Nigel, a very warm welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show today.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. Today, we're going to be talking about communication and a little bit about personality profiling and what that means in the context of small businesses and more specifically, sales and customer relationships. Before we jump in, I know you've got a lot of experience both in the corporate world and with small business. You're also one of the masterminds behind the Start, Build and Grow program as well. So I'd love to know for our listener just a little bit about your own background, but also how you've been part of the Start, Build and Grow program's evolution.
Okay, so my own background, I'm sort of 40 years a career man in commercial banking. So dealing mainly with small businesses, startups to mid-corporates, so sort of multi-million pound type of businesses. My last role was the area director for Eastern England, and I managed a team of manufacturing specialists, and that was great fun. We had a client portfolio of all things manufacturing, ranging from semiconductors to, you know, plastic cups, anything you can think of in manufacturing. That was great fun. So I came to Start, Build, Grow as an opportunity presented through the Levelling Up program the government is sponsoring. And Peter Basford and myself decided it was a great idea to support these initiatives. And we felt that we got the right people with us. We're a team of 35, 40 people now to help and support anybody who's thinking of starting a business or have recently started a business in the last couple of years, fill their knowledge gap. So that's how I came to be part of it. And I fell into the role of the program director. I don't know how that happened, but he did.
And perhaps for those that are listening that aren't aware or perhaps don't know anything about the Start, Build and Grow program, from your perspective, how would you describe the program?
It's a component program made up of broadly three elements, which is a series of workshops, a peer group initiative, and also one-to-one coaching. And it is designed, as I said earlier, to take anybody who's just really in the thought processes, they have an idea, they're not sure how to progress it or bring it to market, be it a product or a service. And hopefully, with the workshops being the knowledge base, and we run those in conjunction with the University of Suffolk, and we have joint speakers on that from both business backgrounds, so the people who have done it or can do it, to the academics who provide the knowledge and the theory behind all of these things, which is really great to refer back to. So a blended approach there. That is, in essence, what the program's about, but it's probably more expansive than that.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's get into our topic today, which is about communication and relationships for the small business owner. So I'm keen to tap into your knowledge today and maybe we can explore the more practical elements of that particular theme for our listener today so that they can actually take something away from our conversation and let's hope apply it. So let's start here. Why do you believe good communication is important for the small business owner?
in a nutshell, I think great communication, not good communication, can make the difference between a customer going away with whatever product or service you have, feeling good about what they've either purchased or going to purchase, as opposed to a sort of a reluctant sale. For me, that's the essence. And to start with the end in mind, which is a real Stephen Covey Seven Habits reference there, I think if we understand ourselves better, that's the first block, then we can understand others better and understand how we can communicate more effectively depending on what personality type is in front of you.
So you mentioned personality types there. So perhaps let's dig into that a little bit, because I know you do quite a bit with personality profiling. So maybe for our listener who might not even be aware that that world exists, what do we mean by personality profiling? And perhaps you can get into some of the personality profiling that you do and the different types of personality profile that are out there.
Yeah, personality profiling is largely based, and there are a number of models, on some theories from Aristotle, but really codified by Jung, Carl Jung. And whatever personality models you see, even if you Googled it, there's a real similarity in the various disciplines or options in personality profiling. What is it in a nutshell? It's quite a big question, but I'll try and answer it. If you think about personalities, there's broadly four types, and there's obviously varying degrees of type. But if you can think about the red personality or energy, red energy person, they happen to be sort of, I call them, you know, forthright, upfront, wanting to get to the detail quickly and make a decision. And then you can go to the yellow energy, who's excited. I often qualify them as being sort of the magpie. They like new ideas. They like nice, new, shiny things. They are life and souls of the party, and they're great fun to be around. Then you go to the green energies. These are the people that care about people, and not only about people, but the things around them. So they're thinkers, they're reflective, they're heart-led. And I suppose if you compare them to a yellow personality type, they're a quieter individual, but still very warm. So you immediately know a green personality if you met them. And then you've got the blue personalities, who their energy is drawn from details. So if you think about scientists or mathematicians or solicitors, or should I say accountants, they like the detail, and this is what gives them their energy. They're head-led rather than heart-led. So those, in a very quick few seconds there, are the four different types of personality.
That's great, Nigel. So I want to dig into that a little bit more. So I'm curious about how these different personalities interact and what you typically see when working within teams. Now, it might be that our small business owner is there on their own.
Yep.
But I think this stuff can apply, because I think understanding your own sort of personality profile might help you understand better how you interact with others. I'm thinking now more of a team in terms of the suppliers, the customers, the other people that we need to help us with our small business. So let's talk a little bit about how these different profiles interact and typically what you see, Nigel.
Okay, so it's interesting. On the Start, Build, Grow program, one of the modules we do is the sales and personality profiling. And going back to what I said earlier, if I understand what type of personality I am, and then I'm faced with one of the other types, not my own, then I know I have to be alert to what they need in their communication. So, for example, I'm very big on sort of green and yellow energy. And if I come across a blue personality type, their energy is around the detail. So I know if I'm sitting in front of a customer or sitting in front of a supplier, or just presenting to an audience, I've got to accommodate these people who need the detail. So you wouldn't be just sort of breezing in there and telling them what the benefits are of your product or service. You'd be saying things like, well, tell me what you need. Give me the details around what matters to you. And you try and pin it down and answer their questions rather than being fluffy and bright and typically salesy. Or if you came to a red personality energy, you need to be able to quickly fire off, well, this is great for you because it does X, Y, and Z. And if you're interested, I can tell you a little bit more about it. And they want it there and then, quick, and easy to assimilate. So why you would do that is you, in the workshops, we talked about changing your own personality. It's not about that. It's about reflecting the person in front of you and trying to get onto their wavelength quicker. And if you can do that, you'll improve your success in communication and ultimately in your business and selling the product or service you have.
Yeah. So I guess if I was the listener listening to this, I'd probably be thinking, okay, this sounds really interesting. How do I find out which one I am?
That's a good question. Well, there are lots of personality type questionnaires on the internet, some better than others, obviously, but explore it with practitioners. They don't have to be expensive reports. You can have a report for about 85 quid, I think. But it's a start of a journey that will really get you into a zone that starts to interest you in finding out all about how people really tick and what makes them tick and how I can be better at what I do as an individual.
So you can learn a bit about yourself here, a bit about how you might interact with others. Actually, some of those descriptions might be helpful because we won't necessarily know which profile somebody's going to be. It's not like we're wearing a coloured T-shirt to communicate that. But I guess we can have a little bit of a guess as to what sort of personality profile folks might be.
It's an art as well as a science. In the background of personality profiling, there is a scientific element to it. But in terms of the art, if somebody typically rolls up to see you in their black Porsche, a 23 plate, and dresses in a very sharp suit, I don't think they're going to be green, and I'm more inclined to think they're going to have a red energy about them. So it's fun to see, and we do this again on the workshop, around, if you looked at my desk now, you could tell my personality type. And we do a little bit of playing around with that. Offline, I can give some referencing to how we go about that. But it's just, if you go into somebody's office and it's all shiny and they've got lots of awards on the walls, again, we're back to the red energy. If we've got pictures of your family and friends on the desk, as I have, you're probably of a green energy. So there are tells in all of this.
Yeah. And what about the yellows and the blues? I'm curious now. What would they look like?
Okay. A blue would probably be very tidy, ordered, a few things on their desk, but if there is any on their desk, it matters. Yellows, they'll be similar to be a bit of a bit of mess going around because they're into everything and they have lots of things going on at any one time. So, yeah, the difference between green and yellow, probably the personality stuff, the having pictures around is definitely green.
I'm imagining now that actually the types of dialogue that might go on between these different profiles, I guess there's going to your earlier point, there's going to be a difference in pace and there's going to be a difference perhaps in the terminology that we use and the level of detail and description. Could be high level, could be detailed, low level stuff.
Yeah.
Do you see any clashes between these different personality types? I'm curious also about the challenges of communications, but we'll come on to that in a second.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to give you an example in terms of our clashes. The theory is if you can visualize the four quadrants of the personality type. In the top left-hand corner, you have blue. On the top right-hand corner, you have red. On the bottom right-hand corner, you have yellow. And on the bottom left-hand corner, you have green. And the red and the green are diametrically opposite, as are the blue and the yellow. And if you have two strongly minded individuals with those personality types, i.e. their personality is way out on the scale on both ends, you stand more chance to have conflict.
Okay.
And I'll give you a quick example of that.
Please.
I sat in a boardroom as a strategy event, an all-day event with a colleague on my same pay grade, as I don't know, a dozen of us around the board table. And I was there presenting new ideas, initiatives, etc., etc. And he sat there all day and didn't say a word. And ultimately, I encouraged my boss then, the regional director, to undertake some personality profiling so we could better understand why he annoyed me so much through not participating. And we had a pint at the bar at the end of the personality profiling event, which followed this. And we learned that we were heavily blue and heavily yellow, so we just clashed a bit. But he was taking it all in and he will assimilate what I was saying and he'll try and put it into practice. But he needed time to reflect and learn what was being said and how it could work. whereas I was in those days probably as high yellow energy as I am today, wanting in, let's forget about making lots of detailed analysis. Shall we just get on with some of this stuff? And it's exciting, it's new, it's innovative, and it's good for the business. So that clash came about, and having done the personality profiling, we really then understood each other so much better and accommodated each other.
Mm. And do we have like a dominant color and then maybe like a secondary one? Are there other strengths we can play with? Can we switch around this stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting. You are not one energy. You're a composite of all.
Right, okay.
And you will have a secondary energy. The principle is if you operate it in your own personality profile, you are at your best. So in a natural state is probably how to describe it. You can, and I do, because my yellow energy and green energy are almost equal and very high.
Okay.
When I'm presenting in a workshop, my natural state is quiet and just, you know, thoughtful. Whereas in a workshop or on stage, I call dialing up the yellow energy. And you do it. You perform. You go into another space. But as a consequence of that, for myself personally, it can be incredibly draining. And people find this, that if they have to dial up the yellow energy to go on stage, they can do it, but it can be draining because it's not their natural state. It also then links with stress levels. And I'll come back to your question in a second, but just occurs to me that if you are performing outside your natural state all the time, so if you are a natural green, which is diametrically opposed to red, but you're asked to be a more red energy person, so go and get the business, do your numbers, rah, 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 go, go, go. You can find yourself in a stress position, which ultimately will be unhealthy for you. So it's another aspect of personality profiling to understand. But to answer your question, yes, we have secondary energies, and that you go through the whole spectrum. You have elements of all of them. You can dial some of them up and down a little bit, but it won't feel natural to you.
Right. Okay. So the key here is to play to your dominant profile there. And I guess with that personality profiling, there are things that are strong. There are things that are not so strong that, and we perhaps want to focus on the strengths there. So I'm curious as to how this now shows up in teams in a little bit more detail.
Okay.
I'm curious about your own experience when you've done personality profiling in organizations.
Yeah.
What the mix has been within a team environment. Do you find that similar profiles tend to group together? Do you find teams generally are very mixed? Or do you find that managers end up hiring people that are of a similar profile to them?
It's a big subject. It's a really interesting question. I've worked with a number of teams, and I'll give you a few examples. No names, obviously, but a female-led company in a service-based industry, let's put it that way. I did the whole team. I think it was probably about 15 plus or individuals. And the thing that struck me a lot was because they were creatives and they were very skilled in that arena, they seemed to attract more creatives. And therefore, their personality profiles tended to start to align. And they were very much green and yellow energy individuals, very low on the red energy in terms of achievement orientated. And as a consequence of that, in doing the profiling with the team, they understood themselves better and they understood the one individual in the team who would have created an element of positive friction because they were results orientated and they were described as getting us to get things done, which is a positive. They learned what was going on there, and the blend of people within the team wasn't forced, but it actually galvanized around a particular personality trait. And therefore, when I was speaking to CEO, we discussed how she could improve the blend, if you like. So that is one example.
That's really interesting. So coming back to one of your earlier points, what it sounds like to me is with this profiling approach, and what we gain is insight. And with that insight, we're able to make more thoughtful communication and have a better understanding of the sort of dynamics of the relationships that we're working with within a team and with those around us.
Yes.
So I'm sort of bringing this back now, those thoughts that you just kindly shared with us there, to the small business owner and how this might show up for them. So in the first instance, possibly it's going to be useful to them to understand what kind of profile they are, to understand where they're strong. And then where would you take that from there? So in terms of with that knowledge of that self-knowledge, I suppose, when it comes to maybe finding an accountant or maybe working with suppliers or even ideal types of customers, or perhaps not the customer as a whole, but individuals within that customer, business or brand to work with, how can we use that knowledge that we've learned about ourselves and apply, I suppose, this profiling information into the real world?
Yeah, it's another great question. And I think for me, it's you start by understanding why you feel and do and act as you do. Let's try and put that around an example. So we described that company earlier on as a bunch of very skilled individuals, but they were talented in this particular aspect. And where you would start to think about their strengths in that arena, in terms of doing what they did, creatives, their yin and yang, I don't like to say negative, but the different side, because it's a very important psychological point, because your energies are two sides of the same coin. They can work for you or against you. And it's being aware of them that's the important piece. But if we take a creative, for example, their level of interest in detail, or their level of interest of going and getting new business, or their level of interest in winning people around, is probably going to be on a lower spectrum. And what we do then is think about, okay, so you've got this new idea, how are you going to launch it? How are you going to create it? What's the detailed steps? You take them through that blue process. So I often say, my wife's got lots of clever ideas. And I say, but ideas are cheap, it's execution that counts. So how do we execute what we're going to do? And what's the route map for that? What's the plan? And explore the areas they're not as naturally favouring, that's probably how I would put it, but make them mindful that they can do it. It's just an unexplored energy for them, and they need to spend more time in that arena.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, that's a really interesting point that you made there about how it can work for you, but it can also work against you. So it's about understanding what sort of profile you are, how your energy works within that profile description, I suppose. Coming back to your point earlier about how we're a blend of all of these things, but to a greater or lesser extent. So we're not really defining ourselves specifically by this, and we're not pigeonholed into that profile rigidly. But having that, knowing where the biases may be and maybe not, we get a better understanding of our communication styles, how our energy might interact with others, and what types of interactions we could expect with the different types of personality profile out there. So that's really useful, particularly in the context of, as you say, they're creative people. I imagine people who are very interested in, I know programmers and engineers who tend to be more detailed, and they tend to want a lot more time, and they tend to be very focused, and you know, they're actually good at focus, whereas I know creatives tend to jump around a bit. I can relate with that myself. So I can hear how this in the real world, and I suppose that's the really important bit, in the real world, how this stuff actually shows up.
Yeah, and I think it's if you're aware that, we talked earlier about the conflict areas, if you're aware that you're very high yellow energy and you bolt in to see anybody, doesn't matter who it is, customer, friend, relative, you know, a colleague, a student, whatever, and you bolt into somebody who's very high in blue energy and you are bright and breezy and giving them lots of stuff to think about very quickly in an excited way, you could drown them.
Right.
Is the best way to describe it, because they can't assimilate at that same rate. They want to think about it and know far more detail. So in that instance, and we talk about communication via email as well, if you're communicating with somebody who's blue, highly blue energy, you might want to give them a heads up. I'm thinking about talking to about this next week in the meeting. Here's an outline of what my ideas are, and give them time to assimilate and reflect and come up with some questions they might have that they need to get answered to come along with what you're suggesting. So there's ways of playing this.
I was imagining there, as you were describing that, the small business owner, I appreciate that those listening to this might have only just started out in business, but maybe at some point they're going to be recruiting, if not employees, subcontractors. And I guess there's an opportunity here to, in the areas where we're not so strong, to have others come in and help us with that stuff. So if you're not a detailed person, to have somebody who's really good at detail, I imagine that can be great for like accounting, bookkeeping, compliance, that sort of stuff, where it might not be a specific interest of yours, but it's something that needs to be done within your business.
Yeah, again, I can give you another great example. As part of my old corporate role, I was responsible for credit governance, and it was essential that my team did their due diligence and reported on the various credit aspects that they had to report on. And I was originally inclined to just to allow them to give me what they got. But I learned that detail is not really my bag. I work hard at doing detail, and I can do it. So that's the first lesson for everybody. Just because it's not your natural state, you can do it. You just have to be disciplined. So I got myself to a point where I was highly disciplined. And I found myself then saying, with my team, you have got to give me the right level of detail so I can perform my function, rather than you just saying, okay, it's over to you, Nigel. You can sort the mess out. I was fairly robust, in a nice way, about getting them to do the right things to help me. And then, as you say, I use other people where a detail was required to go and run projects where I could probably have the oversight, but they would go and get on with something that absolutely, if you've got the right person, could do a far better job and quicker than you can, because it's their bag. It's something that floats their boat.
Well, you've touched upon something there, which I know is really important, and that's motivation. Have you seen that in your experience where you've run this personality profiling and people have gained insights within their organizations as individuals and perhaps as managers as well?
Yeah.
And have you seen that improve motivation?
Yeah. I suppose it's a round pegs, round holes conversation. I was with a client this week where we were talking about her UK agent. And the more we talked, the more we understood that actually she wasn't a natural salesperson, a natural front of house person. She was very nice, dealt with the clients very well. But in terms of having that red energy and going and get business and opening new doors and really driving forward, that wasn't her. So what you have to then think about is, have I got the right person in the role? And that's really important for business people, because we all slug along trying to think the best of everybody. A natural state, I think, hopefully everybody's in. But sometimes they're in the wrong roles. And in my career, I can remember times where I've redirected people to do things that really interested them. And they were better for it and were promoted in the long run as a consequence of doing the right thing. So it does link quite heavily with motivation.
Yeah, that's a really inspiring example there, Nigel. I love this idea that actually through this process, we can get a better insight, as to your point there, about getting the right pegs in the right holes. And with that, actually somebody thriving rather than just sort of showing up every day doing the best that they can, actually putting them in the right position in the right way, giving them the right support, right levels of communication that they might need, and then putting them in a position to succeed and then actually having them succeed. Because I'm sure, as we can all relate with this, when we're naturally motivated or interested in something, then actually our output and our performance can greatly increase.
Absolutely. And one of the mantras of the personality profiling with Clarity 4D, which I do, is that we expect a minimum of a 5% improvement in performance, whatever that might be judged by. It's that uplift, because you are understanding communication at a different level, then you naturally expect performance to improve as a consequence.
Yeah, great. Have you come across any challenges with the profiling process? You know, have you found either people being obstructive or the insights not useful? I'm just curious to get a sort of rounded picture here.
Yeah, so challenges. So red energy people might not always see it in themselves, and they seem, I've come across instances where they consider themselves to be people orientated, and clearly they weren't. They were very much performance orientated. So the challenge is there to give them a better understanding of them, self-awareness. And I think typically is, if we start talking about the negatives of the red energy people, I always liken to a little example of, if I was on the Titanic, who would I want at the muster stations for the lifeboats? Would I want somebody who's quiet, self-effacing, concerned about the bigger picture and people's, or do I want somebody standing there saying, just get on the lifeboat, get on it now, and let's get it launched? because that's what the red energy people would be doing for us, and ultimately save more lives. So I think it's very dangerous to think about the negatives rather than see the positives for what they are. And the other challenge I had particularly was, and I've learned by it, I asked somebody who is highly blue to do a personality profile without positioning it properly. I did position it, but I've learned since I really need to do a better job. And this individual didn't see herself like this. It was a big shock and she couldn't even talk about it. I have to say our relationship continues to be a strong relationship, but it's something you've got to be mindful of when you're doing personality profiling. It's how the individual will react to it. And that's why I'm very clear that it's all part of a big picture and it's all positive and it's all to be learnt as to where, what areas in your life you can be perhaps a bit more self-aware.
Yeah, and I guess like most character insights models and all the rest of it, it's one of these things to some degree you can take and leave. So you can go through this process and you can take what insights you need and you can leave the rest. So it doesn't just necessarily pin you down to these things. I'm also curious, with this particular profiling approach, is it likely to change over time? Do people's energies change over time with these profiles?
It's a classic question. And my answer to that is, ultimately, your personality is your personality. Once you mature to a point, I say once you're certainly into your late teens, early 20s. By the way, we do personality profiling on students and young people, but you've got to be careful you don't fix your ideas about that. But in terms of once you're baked, so to speak, you are always going to be, for me, a high green, high yellow, but it doesn't mean to say that the percentages won't change. I suppose it's a bit like situational leadership. Depending on what situation you're in, going back to the Titanic, if I was at the muster station, would I be able to say, just get on the boat, please? Yes, of course I would. But ultimately, you would then revert back to, is everybody all right? Are we all comfortable? Have we all got blankets? You're not getting wet now. So that green energy would come back to the fore. So we do change around. And in my old role as a corporate, I had to have a lot more red in me than I naturally display. But I can do it. And then you just fall back.
Yeah. So I guess also knowing our strengths and having an understanding of the other profiles, there's an opportunity there to be able to adopt a role for a short period of time, perhaps to get something done, or if that's what's needed in the moment, to your point there about becoming a red energy just for that particular situation. And then we predominantly come back to what our natural temperament is, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's brilliant. The time's flying here, Nigel, and this is really fascinating, really interesting stuff. So I'm curious to learn from you at this stage, where have you seen this really succeed for you? Where has it been an absolute game changer for somebody when you've introduced this?
I think genuinely, everywhere it gets used properly and embedded, where individuals don't just treat it as an exercise, but genuinely want to take it on board and improve their own communication, it does work impressively well. As a go back to my corporate days, the team, the board were more harmonious as a consequence of running through this program. And we all got on and understood each other. And the level of disconnect was improved. It still existed. You can't get away from that. But the understanding improves. And therefore, you then say, this is why such and such is happening. And you then reflect on that. I genuinely think that people who have got an inclination to know themselves better, perform better as a consequence of a personality profile. And I think that really takes them into another level of knowledge and experience and ability to communicate well. That's really impressive. And enables people to resonate more on a wider scale. So if you teach everybody, teach is probably the wrong word, but if you explore with everybody the different types of energies, and then you say, if I'm communicating on stage, in a written format, in face-to-face, then I need to be able to apply the skills that say I can address the demands of the audience, whoever they may be, and make everybody happy. I can't cite one case, and that's probably because I think it's pretty global. They've all been pretty successful.
I like your point there about the fact that it exists anyway. So just getting a better insight is only going to help you manage the different personality types differently, because they exist anyway. So you might as well have an awareness, have some understanding of them. And there are going to be times where that's going to be really useful. So just before we begin to close, and on that note, in your experience, I can imagine the small business owner juggling multiple tasks, lots of different hats to wear at the moment. This might sound like a nice to have for them. But from their point of view, Nigel, and based on your experience, what stage should a small business owner be thinking about perhaps getting some personality profiling, either introduced into their business or perhaps doing it for themselves?
I believe that everybody should do this for themselves, even if they don't do anything else with it. Just get to understand yourself better. And in just in that way, you can start thinking about, well, all of the reasons you have blocks in your life can be down to your personality traits. So why do I find it difficult to pick up the phone and be bright and breezy and salesy with individuals? Because you're not made like that. If it's really not the way to do it for you, then how else can you do it as effectively in a different way? And stop beating yourself up that you're not a cold calling expert. Don't know many people who are, but there are a few around. And then it's that insight to help you overcome the barriers you feel naturally. So if you're low on red energy and you've got to get your performance of the business up, then you've really got to focus on that and dial that red energy up and sometimes just go and do it, even though it feels unnatural to you.
Yeah, that's great, Nigel. That's really insightful. And I like this idea of actually where we get stuck, having an understanding of this, you know, what's the cost of being stuck and for a period of time? So having an advanced sort of awareness of this is going to A, help us understand perhaps why we're getting stuck and where we're getting stuck. And B, that's not going to cost our business and ourselves more and more over time. It's one of these things that we could address early on and take our business to the next level all the sooner.
The words unlock your potential comes to mind. That's what I think we're doing with personality profiling, is unlocking that potential that's there, innate, and it's, you just need to understand it.
That's great. So we've covered a fair bit of ground today and certainly got some new insights, and I've learned a fair bit about personality profiling that I didn't know before. So I'm really grateful for this conversation today, Nigel.
Thank you.
I'm curious, is there anything we didn't cover today that you feel would be important for our listener?
I'd always say yes, but I think this is a journey, and really the first step to take is just open the book on personality profiling, look at the material that will be referenced in this podcast, and start thinking about, okay, taking the first steps of finding about yourself, and then see where it takes you.
That's great. And with building on that, are there any top tips or any final tips you'd like to offer our listener?
Yeah, this can be a very serious subject. And as I say on my workshops, make it fun. Practice in a safe way, and you'll be surprised how much enjoyment you can derive from it with a better understanding. And let's not get too serious.
I like that idea. Yeah. And having had some experience with this in the past, I can say it's a lot of fun and it's good to learn about yourself. It can be quite insightful and learn a bit more about why we do things and the way we do things. So I concur with you there. Absolutely, Nigel. Well, I'm hoping our listener wants to find out more. So where can they reach you, Nigel, and where can they learn more about personality profiling?
They can go and have a look at Clarity 4D. That's Clarity 4, the number 4D.co.uk. They can come and get me either at nigel@bgcn.co.uk or just simply hello@startbuildandgrow.co.uk.
That's great. Well, Nigel, it's been great to catch up with you today and learn some more.
It's great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And thanks for interviewing me, Rob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Start, Build and Grow podcast. And thank you to my guest, Nigel Sandbrook, for sharing his expertise and knowledge with us today. In this episode, we talked about the benefits of effective communication, how we can begin to identify our own personality type, and how personality profiling can help you begin to better understand others. Nigel also revealed to us how all of this can support us as a small business owner when it comes to the business of delegating, recruiting, and motivation. This podcast project has been funded by the UK government through the UK Shared Prosperity Fund and Ipswich Borough Council. Start, Build and Grow is part of the BGCN Group. Discover more business growth, leadership, coaching and enterprise resources at bgcn.co.uk or email us at info@bgcn.co.uk.